in church. You thankful he looked beyond your faults?
Oh,
think about that cross, but we know we serve a risen Savior today. Amen. God bless you. Let's stand. It's 2:14 if you don't know this little chorus.
The windows of heaven are open. Oh, the blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart, for Jesus makes everything right. I gave him garment. He gave me a robe of pure white, and I'm feasting today on the manna, and that's why I'm happy tonight. Oh, the windows of heaven are open, the blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, there's joy in my heart. devil don't believe it I see, but I'm filled with the Spirit, there isn't a doubt, and that's what's the matter.
Let's sing it this way.
Oh, that's what's the matter with me, praise God. Oh, that's what's the matter.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Good to be in church tonight. Amen. If you haven't noticed, it's humble night. And I think everybody knows by now, but Brother Branham said sometimes on Wednesday nights they'd have humble night, and the brothers would wear their work clothes, their overalls and things, and he'd preach in his overalls. So every once in a while we have a humble night, and there's several people out of town that's upset that they missed it, so we may have to have another one here before too long, maybe November or December or sometime. So we also want to say Happy Reformation Day to you. Amen. Not Happy Halloween, but Happy Reformation Day. 1517 on this day, Martin Luther tacked 95 theses to the door, and somebody had, a brother had sent me a cartoon today and had a picture of Luther nailing the theses to the door, and he turns around to a guy behind him and he said, "Would you stop saying trick or treat?" I said, "95 theses, not 95 Reese's." So I thought that was pretty cute, but good to be in church on Reformation Day. Amen. Got an announcement to make, and the brother's not even here because of a work obligation. He's running a little late, should be here in a few minutes, but a few months ago, oh, he is here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I was looking for him over here, and he wasn't over there. But a few months ago, the deacon board and I had met together, and we had discussed some different brothers and things, and we all agreed unanimously and voted 100% to vote Brother Hoover in as a deacon. The problem was Brother Hoover wasn't ready, hadn't got a word from the Lord for confirmation for that, so we just kind of gave him his space to pray about it. And last Sunday night, he approached me and said that he was willing to take the office of deacon. So officially, he'll be starting on Sunday morning in that capacity, and then we'll just run that through till after the first of the year. Sometime when we have our regular elections, we'll allow the church to vote on that. And that's how Brother Branham did it. When they would elect a deacon, he'd have a few months of a trial period so that they could kind of see if they wanted to continue and if the church wanted them to continue. So we try to do that the way that he did. So we're very happy about that, the deacon board and myself, and to have a brother to help us pull the load. And I know sometimes the work schedules and things have been hard for the brothers, so this will kind of help us balance that out. And Brother Luke teases, because I was wanting to elect actually two deacons, and we may elect another one eventually, but he was teasing that it was going to take two to replace him, so we'll see. But also, we've got a testimony we want to share. Sister Christy, the doctors had found something they were concerned about, a place, and they thought that it might be cancer and did a biopsy this week, but she got the results back today that it shows no cancer. So we want to praise the Lord for that. Amen. Amen. So prayer changes things. Amen. We've also wanted to just let you know there'll be a memorial service for Sister Stephanie Duval's Sister Kathy tomorrow at 11 a.m. at the Pisgah Missionary Baptist Church in Kokomo, Indiana. And Brother and Sister Layton and our family will be leaving immediately after service to drive up to Kokomo to be there for that. And so just remember us in prayer for traveling mercies, and just that we could be a help and a support to the family during this time. Just remember them during this time of loss. And we've got quite a few that are traveling. Brother David and Sister Savannah and Sister Sherry Virgin, they're traveling this week. Want to remember them in prayer. And I believe Brother Lee and the rest of his family will be traveling back this weekend. So want to remember them in prayer for traveling mercies. Brother Ben texted me today and asked that we remember Sister Crystal Wright. She's not feeling well. And then Brother Furman asked that we remember Ethan in prayer. He'll be having an overnight EEG study that looks at the brain waves to monitor seizure activity at Norton's Children's Hospital this Thursday and Friday. So we want to remember him in prayer. And then also, I just want to continue to remember those churches in Angola that are being persecuted by their government for their religious freedom and things. So want to remember that situation in prayer. How many of you have an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring to the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. Oh, the Lord sees each one. Brother Trevor, would you come tonight? Just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests.
Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, to just take some time, Lord, to shake off the weight of the world and the troubles of the day, Lord, and to come and sit in the quiet, to read the word, to get into prayer, and to worship before your throne, Lord Jesus. Lord, even sometimes it takes us, maybe in a few songs, Lord, to really get in the right atmosphere, Lord. But Lord, you're so good to us. You're so wonderful, so holy, Lord God. Lord, if your presence could just come and be with us tonight, Lord. Wash over us with your blood, Lord, and with your spirit, Lord God. Speak to our hearts and encourage us, Lord. Give us a little more strength for the journey, Lord Jesus. Let your word become a little more alive tonight in our hearts, Lord. Father, we thank you for all of our praise reports, Lord, how you're always working and you're with us, Lord God. Even times we know we're still struggling, but God, just with our mouths, we want to say thank you and we want to confess that all is well. Lord, and there's many requests and many needs, and Lord, according to your own grace, your mercy, and your kind providence, Lord, supply and meet each need. So now, Lord, come, move in our midst, O God. Lord, just let revival just spark in our hearts tonight, and we'll thank you and give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. At this time, we have a special from Sister Christy here in Bassac.
Should death knock on your door? Don't you know that death is
bless you, Sister Christy. Sure appreciate that. The older I get, the more I look forward to my theophany. So this is what we're called to do, whether we're in our work clothes or ties and good dresses. This is what we're called to do. Oh, this little light of mine, oh, I'm gonna let it shine.
In a hurry tonight? Thank you, Brother Furman. Amen. Brother Trevor said something right before or right during his prayer. I think during his prayer he said that sometimes it takes us just a little bit to get into that atmosphere of worship. Sometimes it takes a few songs and things, and he doesn't know what I'm preaching on tonight, but amen, it goes right along with it. So I thought, well, praise the Lord. I had a song in my heart, and then another brother texted me and wanted me to do different songs, so we'll see how the Lord leads. Maybe we'll do both, maybe we won't, but amen. You just pray for me tonight. I think you should know both of these pretty well by now, but haven't done this one in a while, but amen. Some of the home folks that's been here for a while know it.
Well, I've seen all this world I want to see.
Old things down here ain't got no chains on me. I'm not worried about the future because I know He's ready to come. Sometimes it seems like everything goes wrong. We just sit around and cry and sing old sad songs. Then He whispers in our ear to let us know He's ready to come. Church, get ready. Everything goes wrong. I just sit around and cry and sing old sad songs, but then He'll whisper in my ear to let me know He's ready to come. Get ready to go. Oh, it seems like everybody's talking about heaven, but if you want to go along, you better be a believer. Oh, church, I've got a feeling someday soon we'll be leaving. Well, if you want to ride this train, you better not be slow. He's ready to come. Are you ready to go? He's ready to come. Are you ready to go? One night while on life's raging sea, it looked as if I would suffer defeat. As the blackness of night drove out the light, my heart sank with fear. In my desperate cry, rang out with fright, seemed like all I could see was no hope in sight. With my faith all but gone, that's when I met the one who came looking for me. Oh, He came looking for me. Thank you, Jesus. He came looking for me. Oh, He made a way when there was no way that I could see. Plans had moved forward to try to put me away. I had drifted so far. Would anyone care that I'd soon be lost? Well, I knew my destruction was a matter of time. Then my Jesus stepped in, said, "Satan, this boy is mine. Now I'm safe from all harm." Oh, He walked through my storm. He came looking for. Oh, looking. was near. He rescued my soul, calmed all my fears. Now I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me. Let's sing it again together. He came looking for me. Oh, I didn't deserve it, but he came looking for me. Oh, he made a way when there was no way that I could see. Well, I drifted far, Jesus was near. He rescued my soul, calmed all my fears. Now I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me. Now I'm safe from all harm. I met the one who came looking for me.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You love him tonight? I want to take a thought tonight. It's humble night, so we're just going to relax and just see what the Lord has for us tonight. Take our time. And when I say take our time, I don't mean that you're going to get out at 11 o'clock. I mean, we're just not going to get in a hurry. And I want to look at this thought of a new song. A new song. And I'm just the type of person, I believe in giving credit where credit is due. So I'll tell you how I got the thought for this sermon. I was studying on Saturday night, and I was up quite late trying to condense notes and put things together for Sunday morning's service there Saturday night. And sometimes when you're doing that, your brain just needs a break. And so I had taken a few minutes break there and got me a midnight snack about 1 in the morning. And I thought I'd just, sometimes I'll go through and check out some of the other brothers' websites and see who they've had in to preach and things. So I clicked on Brother Tim Pruitt's website and was looking through there, and he had had several brothers come and preach for him in about the middle of October. Brother Donnie Reagan, Brother Ron Spencer, Brother Wayne Lawson, and I think that was all. There may have been some other brothers, I'm not sure. But Brother Donnie had preached a sermon on the ministry of the moon, and it kind of caught my attention. Of course, speaking of the bride and her relationship to Christ and the sun and the moon there. And so I was just kind of skimming through a little bit of that while I was eating a little snack there. And he just kind of, what me and Brother Trevor call a tangent, you know, it's not really part of the sermon. It just kind of, you get dragged down a certain line of thought or anointing. And he kind of just took a little 2-minute tangent there, and he made this statement about a new song, and I started looking into some things in the scriptures and the quotes about that, and it just seemed like it. I just kind of went off on my own little tangent there and studied for about an hour on this thought of a new song, and then I pulled it back around and started looking at what we was preaching on Sunday morning. But just felt led to go with this for tonight, for the humble night. So Psalm chapter 40 and verse 1, we'll be reading a lot of excerpts from Psalms because David, being anointed as a musician and a songwriter, and we'll take some thoughts from that. And Brother Bam tells us that inspiration, it's really hard to understand and explain inspiration. You know, I've told the story before, I think, but it would stand to be told again. Brother Trevor and Brother Stephen, Brother Joshua Carter and Brother Anthony and I, and maybe some of the other brothers occasionally, we would go and visit Brother Pate in the Brother Jerry Pate in the nursing home when he was there, and he had Parkinson's and shook very badly, and he got to a spot where his wife couldn't help him and take care of him around the clock like that. So we would go every Tuesday night for quite a while, and then when we all started to get married, we'd start going every other Tuesday night, and we would go in and sing songs to him and play music. And I was just learning to play the guitar, and we were singing. We have a lot of different comical stories and things from different ones of his roommates and things like that, things that took place. But we were always trying to go to bless him, but we wound up usually being the ones that got blessed. And Brother Branham tells us that, you know, inspiration and things, you can't just say, well, I'm going to be inspired today, Brother Jimmy, and just go out and do it. But God gives inspiration. And so I wrote a little chorus one time, and Brother Trevor and Brother Anthony and I would sing it together. And Trevor said, why don't you just write some verses to that? And I said, well, Brother Trevor, you can't just sit down and write verses. And about the time that got out of my mouth, it just seemed like the Lord came down, and I wrote 3 verses, just boom, 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 started singing them and wrote them down as fast as I could. And he said, you can't just write verses.
But you can't, not and do something. Now you can sit down and Mary had a little lamb and rhyme it out, but to be a truly anointed song, man can't just sit down and do that. It takes the anointing of the Holy Spirit to come. We find that the anointing of the Holy Spirit, sometimes some of the songs that we even sing at church and things, if some of you knew maybe who wrote them, you might be offended or whatever, but the anointing of the Holy Spirit doesn't always come and anoint on Holy Ghost-filled individuals. The Holy Spirit can anoint on the outside without the vessel actually being filled on the inside. We find there's many different songs. I Saw the Light. Hank Williams wrote I Saw the Light. What an anointed song. Different ones that down through history, hymns and different things. Some of the hymns taken from actually a bar tune and things like that, that they would be, you know, some German bar song or something like that, and they take the melody from that and put a gospel song to it. I don't know. I think Brother Furman was singing, "He Looked Beyond My Faults and Saw My Needs Tonight." That's taken from "Oh Danny Boy," the melody of it, but what an inspiration that came and was there to write it. So we find that Satan always tries to pervert what God has, and so there's many times with singing and anointing and things like that, Satan can anoint somebody to write a song absolutely as well. But we want to look at this thought. I don't want to keep you standing too long, so we'll get to our scripture, but we want to look at this thought tonight of a new song. Psalm chapter 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Amen. Let's bow our heads together tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before your throne tonight, and Lord, we just ask that you would take complete control of the service. Lord, may you anoint me in the capacity that you would have for us tonight. Lord, I don't want to do anything or say anything that would be unpleasing to you, Lord, but may you just come and take complete control. Lord, we commit the service into your hands. Lord, not for the glory of a man, but for your glory. Lord, may we go out of here closer to you than we was when we came in. May we go out of here encouraged. May we go out of here strengthened, Lord. And Lord, may you give us a new song tonight that we can go out of here with joy in our hearts and gladness and singing and praise to our King. Lord, we pray and ask these things humbly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated tonight. I'm going to pull a Brother Hoover tonight, and I'm starting my timer now instead of before all of those other comments and scripture. But when it comes to songs, there's something about it. And, you know, some of the conversations even this week that I've had with different brothers and not even realizing it, and them not realizing it, obviously not knowing what I was preaching on, and sometimes even me not realizing it. Brother Joshua, you made a statement standing out here outside the church last night after we'd practiced some songs, and I didn't think of it at the time how it fit in with the service today, but in studying this afternoon, I begin to think back to his statements, how that certain songs sometimes, and we've all had memories of things like that, and sometimes it's not even maybe a song that we would be proud that we knew or something, but we many times we can associate a song with a circumstance, whatever it would be, that we can look back in life and remember, oh yes, when this was happening, this certain song was playing, or maybe we can relate to different songs, and I'm just going to be Brother Nathan again tonight like I was Sunday morning, and if I offend you, you just pray for me and forgive me, and we'll move forward from there. But and then sometimes there's songs, you know, that that apply to our life, maybe not even a Christian song, but something that we can relate to in our life, or maybe some Christian song that was playing maybe the night you got saved, or maybe when you got filled with the Holy Ghost, maybe sometime when you were driving down the road and God protected you from a certain thing, and your mind can go back and it's implanted on that some song, or maybe a song that was played at a funeral of a loved one, or at your wedding, or at some special occasion, and that always just seems like a special place in your heart, and we can relate to songs, and sometimes we can sing songs after we go through something. That's kind of what we want to look at tonight, is you can't really truly sing a song from the heart until you can identify and relate to it, and sometimes for the good or for the worse or whatever it would be, but when you can relate to a song and identify it, then, you know, as far as singers and things like that, when I can stand up and recognize that he came looking for me when I didn't really deserve it, I can really sing that, amen, because I can identify with it tonight. Amen. When Sister Christy sang that one day she's going to take a step into her theophany, we can sing that because we have that hope that we're going to a theophany, that we're going to a body that doesn't get old and tired and weary and gray hairs and all these things. So there's something about music, there's something about it, that about songs and things, that it creates an atmosphere. Now, the Church of Christ, they went out on a limb and they said, well, we shouldn't have music in the church, and they just completely avoided any type of musical instrument or anything like that. And they went off too far on that limb. And then the Pentecostal church, they went off on another limb, and they thought, well, if you couldn't whoop it up and beat the bands and do all this and get an atmosphere from the music, then it just wasn't a service. And sometimes they'd just sing and shout the whole service, and they'd run out of time for the preaching. They wouldn't have any word because they were so interested in the singing and the music and the shouting and all that, which that's wonderful. But like anything else, it has its place and its time and its purpose. So Brother Branham makes a statement in The Law Having a Shadow in 1956. He said, I really love singing and music. I know we all do. How many knows what the order of battle is for the Lord? You know what the first thing went before the battle? Singers and musicians went forth singing, not weeping and wailing. Oh my. Not weeping and wailing. They went forth singing. They went forth singing. Then after that come the Ark of the Covenant. So they went before the Ark. And then after that come the fighters. So that's a good thing. It's a very scriptural order for a religious service. The first thing, the music, then the word, then the battle. So it's all order of the Lord. You say, you mean we have a battle when we come to church? Absolutely. Amen. First comes the music to set an atmosphere of worship and of praise. And then comes the word. And then after the word goes forth, then comes the battle. Then comes the spot where the rubber meets the road. And it's the devil and his demons and God and his angels standing there. And in this atmosphere of worship, the enemy trying to get you to say, well, you didn't really get nothing. And God and the angels standing there saying, look, just take a step into that atmosphere that we've been talking about. Take a step into that. And it's a battle that's going on. People come up for prayer, and when they come up and get anointed with oil and prayed for, they can walk out of here a different person, or they can walk out of here the same way that they came in. When they come up and pray for deliverance, when they come up to an altar and pray, it's a battle. It's a battle. It's a spiritual warfare. As we were talking the other night, me and Philip, you know, it's not spiritual. It's not flesh and blood so much that we war against, but many times it's a spiritual warfare. And Brother Bam says again, have faith in God. He said, God loves music. Have faith in God, 1954. God loves music. Again, the same sermon. He said, the Lord loves music. So there's something about it when you're sitting over there. Now, if you're sitting in a honky-tonk or something, they're playing some old song about how they got drunk and lost their loved ones, and they got cheated on, all this, and you're sitting there just a patting your foot and tapping your hand and snapping your fingers, you know, then you're in that atmosphere. There's something about it. What is it doing? It's creating an atmosphere. The music creates an atmosphere. When they go out and they begin to have a football game, what do? They come out with the trumpets and the trombones and the drums, and they begin to play together, and they're playing. They're not out there playing some sappy, sad song that's going to lull everybody to sleep. But what are they doing? They're trying to get the team into the atmosphere of a fight. When they go out to battle and they play their patriotic song, whatever the nation would be, what are they doing? They're trying to get their patriotism up to set an atmosphere for the battle. And so when we come to church, there's something about it. You know, you look around sometimes and you see people, and they're back there and they're filing their fingernails and yawning and stretching, and then some of the rest of you up here getting in an atmosphere of worship and trying to fight the devil and trying to fight through, and regardless of what your day was like and regardless of what you went through, what is it? The song leader and the musicians and the different ones, they're coming together, setting an atmosphere of worship before the word goes forth. And you can either be a part of it, or you can just sit there and look around and, well, I guess that was okay. Well, there's something about it. You say, well, if I sang, I'd scare everybody off. Well, just sing kind of under your breath then, if that's how you feel about it. But sing. Amen. Participate in it. Amen. If you say, well, I can't hardly clap on beat. Well, clap softly then so you don't offend your neighbor. But put those hands together. The Bible said, clap your hands. Amen. You want to fulfill word tonight? You can do it real easy. Glory. Amen. The songs are playing. You're just clapping your hands and you don't realize you're fulfilling scripture. Or you can sit on your hands back there. I'm not going to amen. I'm not going to clap my hands. I'm not going to raise my hands. I had a bad day. Well, maybe a lot of you did, but you can either enter into worship and get past that, or you can just come in and sit there and just think, well, I guess I could have just got as much staying at home. Well, maybe if you come with that attitude, you might be able to. But if you come and you enter in and you become a part of the worship and a part of the music, amen. Brother Furman's raising his hand back there. Hallelujah. I don't know if he's just elevating or if he's worshiping, but either way, praise the Lord. Amen. He might just sit back there with his hand up all service. That's okay. Amen. Amen. Maybe, you know, maybe God will do something to your finger too if that's what it takes to get you to praise him. Just raise your hands and praise him. Amen. Don't wait till you have to elevate it. He might make you elevate your feet and your legs and your elbows and everything, but he'll get you to praise him somehow. Amen. Oh my, look, 1963, Brother Branham says, there's nothing like music, you know? God heals by music. Did you know that? Uh-huh. God heals by music. Somebody quoted this to Sister Stephanie last night, I believe, here at church, talking about how that God could heal by music. My, he begins to talk about David and how that David, he said David actually was a divine healer. He said, did you know that? He said he began to play his music and it cast out the evil spirits from Saul. Something about an atmosphere. He said, we'll read it right here. I've got the quote in front of me. But he began to talk about Elisha. How that Elisha, when he got over there and he said, here comes Jehoshaphat and Ahab's son in there. And they're wanting some advice from him. And Brother Bram said he got his dandruff all up. He said, oh my, if it wasn't for the presence of righteous Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't look at you or speak at you. And he got all upset and all worked up. And he said, now, before the prophet could see something, he said, he turned around and he said, bring me a minstrel. And he said, here they begin to come and they begin to play the music. In one quote, he said, they begin to beat the drums. Oh, goodness gracious. And they begin to beat the drums and they begin to sing together. There's going to be a meeting in the air. And he said, before you know it, he began to pat his foot over there. And he said, what was he doing? The prophet was getting in the spirit. And when the prophet got in the spirit, he began to see things. He said, oh, tonight, if we could get in the spirit, then we'd begin to see things. God can heal through music. Brother Bram said that God heals through touch. He heals through love. Just sometimes a kind word to somebody. He heals through many different ways. He heals through medicine. He heals through his word. He heals by laying on of hands. Different ways. But we recognize that God heals by music. Well, okay, there we go. Psalm chapter 144, verse 9. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery. And an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. Brother Bram says in this great warrior, David, 1955, he said, shame on you people. Don't believe in string music. No wonder. Evil spirits never like it. Oh, goodness. They have to get away. Shame on you people, don't believe in string music. No wonder, evil spirits never like it. They have to get away. He said, David cast out devils by playing on his string instruments. He says again in Elisha 1954, well, you say, Brother Branham, I'm not the prophet. Well, if you ain't the prophet, you can be one of the instruments anyhow. Just keep playing. Oh, my Brother Joshua, Brother Japheth, Brother Anthony, just keep playing. Brother Arnie, I don't want to leave you out tonight, brother. I'm trying to remember who all was here, the musicians. Just keep playing. Do you realize sometimes we come in and we sit down and, oh my, it's just another Wednesday night and, oh, at least we got to dress down tonight, and we come in sometimes with that attitude. But you realize when the musicians begin to sit down and they begin to play and they begin to play some anointed song that the Lord has laid on their heart, you know, we don't have a manual or a program, and I don't send out little flyers and sheets and say, now, Brother Furman, you're going to take two steps forward and Sister so-and-so, you're going to play this, and then we're going to take two steps backwards, and Brother so-and-so is going to do this, and we're going to go through this motion and this ritual. Amen. Brother Furman and I, it's very rarely, I would say maybe one out of 50 services, or maybe one out of 100, that we even tell the musicians what to start the service off to, only if the Lord's just really impressing us, and they come out, and many times they'll pick a song, and 9 times out of 10 it's something that either Brother Furman or I had already wanted to sing or play or whatever it would be. And what is it? The Holy Spirit working and moving on both ends of the line. Now, if he can do that between the musicians and the song leader and the pastor and all of that and orchestrate that, then what about you? If you come with expectations that, Lord, I have a need tonight. I'm going through a battle tonight. And, Lord, I need something to speak to my heart. And before we ever press play on the tape or before the preacher ever enters the pulpit, the Brother Joshua or Brother Japheth or Sister Stephanie or somebody gets to sit down and begins to place their fingers upon those ivory keys or plastic keys or whatever they are, and they begin to say, Lord, just lead me into a channel that you could use this gift that you placed in my life. And they begin to play something, and before you know it, you say, oh, goodness gracious, Lord, that's just what I needed for this battle that I'm going through. You realize you could be healed before the preacher ever gets to the platform? You realize you could get healed before we ever heard a scripture or a quote or a tape or a minister's voice sitting there in the presence of God and in an atmosphere of worship, and that music come down, begin to heal scars and wounds and things in your soul and bitterness and hatred, and you just begin to lift up your hands and pray. Sometimes some of you, before even the song leaders got to the pulpit, sometimes you've been standing up and raising your hands and worshiping. What is it doing? Creating an atmosphere of worship. Creating an environment where people can be healed, not just physically. I thank God for physical healing. But if we get healed physically tonight, no doubt if we live another 10 years and the Lord tarries, we'll get another sniffle or a flu or a cold or whatever it would be. But there's something about it when the Holy Spirit can come down and begin to heal old wounds emotionally and begin to heal spiritually. There's things that can change your, oh my, it can have an impact on eternity. Why? Because one person got in a channel where God could use them. Amen. Many times we wait for the prophet, or we wait for the pastor, or we wait for this one or that one. Play your part tonight. Play your part. You say, well, I couldn't, you know, carry a tune in a bucket. Well, Brother Branham says, we'll read it in just a minute. He said, if all you got is just a 10-stringed instrument, he said, just play that. Play that for the Lord. You can encourage somebody. Maybe somebody sitting there knowing, you know, what you're going through and the trials that you're facing, physical things or financial things or family things going on in your life, and they sit over there and maybe they came in, you know, somebody talked bad about them on Facebook or somebody treated them wrong on their job, and they come in and, oh, I just don't feel like worshiping tonight. And they look over at you and they see you smiling and lifting your hands and crying and praising the Lord and clapping your hands, and they think, goodness gracious, if Brother so-and-so can shout, then I can shout. If Sister so-and-so can praise him and lift her hands with what she's going through, then my goodness, how could I let the devil rob me and keep me from it? And it begins to be contagious, but you realize it's contagious the other direction too. If we come in, well, it's Wednesday night and the devil sure beat me up, then that can be contagious too. I said it a while back, and I actually did it. I don't know how many of you did or not, but I actually have a reminder on my phone now, because if I get in the flesh and the devil's beating me up and I'm running late and trying to get notes together and trying to do this and do that and get to church all frazzled, I've got a little reminder comes on my phone a few minutes before service, says, have a positive impact. And I think, amen. Amen. No matter what I feel like, no matter what the day's been like, no matter what I've been going through, I want to have a positive impact on the service. Don't just let that be for the pastor and the song leader, that we got to come in and whatever we're facing, we've got to press on through it and preach or sing or the musicians play or whatever it be. No, let's come together and worship the Lord. Just keep playing. If you ain't the prophet, you can be one of the instruments anyhow. Just keep playing. My, someday you may not recognize it. Maybe nobody will come and tell you and say, oh my, you had such an impact on me that service or whatever it be. But maybe somebody down at the altar, and they're just grasping for straws, anything. Lord, just show me something. Show me that you care about me. Show that me that you love me. And somebody begins to play, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. We had a sister a few services ago. I guess it's been a couple months ago now. She came in and she was all stressed out and worked up and things. Satan was trying to lie to her and try to rob her of her victory and rob her of her peace. And she came in and she was crying outside of my office door. She said, Brother Nathan, can I speak to you just a moment? And me and another brother went over there and began to talk to her. And she said, I'm just living in such an atmosphere of fear. She said, Satan is trying to fight me and lie to me. I'm just constantly, I'm afraid of this and that. And I said, let's just have a word of prayer. And we had a word of prayer there. And she comes upstairs, and about the time she's walking up the steps, I believe it was Brother Joshua, comes over and sits at the piano, and he begins to play, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. I thought, if he only knew what was happening in his sister's heart, if she's catching it like I'm catching it right now. And I came upstairs and I was playing the guitar and I was trying to get her attention and see if she could see me. And she there's too many people in between us, Brother Jimmy. But I asked her a few services later. I said, did you catch what that brother played right after we had prayed in the basement? She said, oh, I caught it. Amen. I caught it. Sometimes you don't realize what an impact you're having on somebody. Just keep playing. Play your part. He said, that's right. You ain't got no more than them 10. Just give vent to them just as hard as you can. If you can't be the prophet, be part of the minstrels. Do something to bring the Spirit of the Lord down. Amen. Prophet couldn't do it himself. He had to have the minstrel to help him. Now, I know in this day and age, people don't believe that, but I believe all that he said. I don't just believe my favorite quotes and my favorite scriptures and Luke 17:30 and all that. Amen. This is just as much word as the rest of it. Amen. The prophet had got all worked up. And what did he do? He said, bring me a minstrel. And then when the minstrel came and began to play, it began to create an atmosphere. Sometimes, you know, we come in as brothers and we're stressed and we're nervous and we've been trying, Lord, am I in the right channel? Am I not in the right channel? And something about it, just that atmosphere of worship. And you hear the saints begin to sing and the music begin to play. And something happened like tonight where Brother Trevor comes up and says something that goes right along with the service. Or it doesn't have to be Brother Trevor. Sometimes it's Brother Furman or Brother Hoover or Brother whoever. It is whoever the Lord can use. Just yield to him tonight. Amen. Brother Trevor didn't know what he was saying when he came up here. He just came up because I invited him up to pray. But what is it? There's sometimes little things like that. It's just a confirmation to somebody else that, yes, Lord, I know I'm on the right path. Just yield to him. It doesn't have to be some great eloquent something, just something so simple. Amen. God can use you. Psalm 33, verse 1, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. Oh my goodness, that wouldn't flow in some churches, would it? But there's something about church that open door. We don't mind. Just brothers, you know, I'll just say this tonight and take up for my musicians. If you don't like something that my musicians, or I call them my musicians because I'm the pastor, but there are musicians. I'm not, you understand what I'm saying tonight. I'm not trying to be big I and little you tonight or anything like that. But when the musicians, if they're doing something, you'd think, well, I'd just rather it be this way or rather it be that way. Brother Furman's doing something, you think, well, I wish he wouldn't have sang that, or I wish this musician would play a little different style, or a little quieter, or a little louder, or whatever it be. Just let me ask you to do me a favor. Come to me about it and leave them alone, okay? Praise the Lord. Yeah, we might not want to ask him to do that. Because I feel like we've been blessed with a godly, Holy Ghost-filled group of musicians that follows the leading of the Lord. Amen. If I ever feel like they're getting out of order, or it becomes a contest of who can play the loudest or whatever it would be, then I'll address it. If you feel like it is, come to me and I'll pray about addressing it. But leave them alone and don't give them a complex when they're sitting there trying to do the best they can to yield to the Holy Spirit and bless somebody else. And just because you didn't get blessed doesn't mean that somebody else isn't about to shout through the roof. Well, praise the Lord. Exodus chapter 15, verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Now I want you to notice, we're just kind of getting into the meat of the sermon now, so you can see where I'm headed with this. But I want you to notice that just a few weeks before this, this same group of people, they had been singing a very different song, Brother Jimmy. Oh my, they had been out there in Egypt. They had been moping around. They had been beat by the taskmasters. They'd been down. Their backs were striped by the whip, and here they were living in bondage. They didn't get to get up and decide whether they felt like going to work that day or not. They didn't get to get up and decide whether they was going to take a vacation day with their family or not. They were living in a bondage and in a constant turmoil and a constant oppression, and they would walk around with their heads down and sing, "When Israel was in Egypt land, let my children go." And they were singing these sad songs, depleted songs. Why? Because that's the environment that they were living in. That's where they are. That's the only song they knew. Maybe they had been raised a slave. Maybe they had been born over in captivity and bondage in Egypt, and all they had ever known was the taskmaster's whip. They had never known freedom. They had never known what it was like to be free. They never knew any of these things that we have the privilege of knowing tonight. And so they would walk around in this environment, but now God comes and he does something supernatural. Now he comes and he brings them out with a strong hand. He brings them out with plagues and with vindications. And now they come out of Egypt and they get against the Red Sea, and now they have no place they can turn. They're up against a wall over here, and they're up against water over here, and they're up against Pharaoh's army over here. And there's no, absolutely no humanly, scientifically, military way for them to survive. But yet the Holy Spirit comes and does something so supernatural. And he divides the waters, and they walk across on dry land. Now, they were murmuring and complaining a minute ago. They had just been delivered. They had seen the mighty hand of God. They had seen the death angel pass by all of their children and slay all the firstborn of Egypt. But now, here they are in another circumstance. And like us, instead of thinking, "Oh my, if he could deliver my children from the death angel, I guess he can do just about anything," they begin to murmur and complain and grumble and say, "Oh, if we would have just died back in Egypt, we would have been better off." And Moses stood up before the congregation. He said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And God begins to part the waters, and they begin to walk across on dry land, and they get across, and Pharaoh and his chariots, the pillar of fire begins to part, and they come through. They think, "Well, we'll just go right after them then." And they get about the middle there, and the waters just begin to subside back together. And Moses, all of a sudden, the anointing strikes him. All of a sudden, the anointing strikes this man of God, and inspiration comes down, and he begins to sing a new song that they had never heard before. He begins to sing a new song that they could never sing before, because they hadn't seen Pharaoh's armies drowned. They hadn't seen deliverance before. They hadn't seen victory before. All they had known was bondage and slavery and death and misery and turmoil and pressures. But now Moses gets inspired, and under the anointing, he begins to sing a new song. And now they can sing this song because they can relate to it, because they've just seen it happen, and they've seen what God did, and they've seen Pharaoh's army drowned under the Red Sea. So they could tune in right along with him and sing, "Oh, we saw him drown under the Red Sea." Oh my, I don't know how it all rhymed in Hebrew or whatever it was, but they would join right in there and sing with him, and they begin to get the victory. Let's go on a little further. Moses begins to sing in the Spirit. Paul said, "Whatever I do, let me do it in the Spirit. If I sing in the Spirit, let me sing in the Spirit. If I preach in the Spirit, let me preach. If I dance in the Spirit, let me dance in the Spirit." Whatever it would be. Amen. Exodus chapter 15, verse 20. "And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand." Oh my, a lot of churches wouldn't be happy with that, would they? "She took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances." Goodness gracious. "And Miriam answered them, 'Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea.'" Oh my, I can't play a tambourine like Brother Anthony can, but I can just imagine her. She gets out there and begins to sing and dance and play that tambourine, and she begins to get the victory and shout. She begins to dance, and here comes the rest of the daughters of Israel coming behind her. They begin to dance in the Spirit. Oh my, they're having a good time and going around. Why? They've got the victory. Amen. They weren't going to a barroom dance or a square dance or some formal, you know, something, bow to your neighbor and turn. They were so excited. They were so free and so victorious and had seen God do so much, they didn't know how else to express it. Intervale, 1956, these old Egyptian taskmasters had drove the people to do things that they were burdened to do. After they looked back in this Red Sea, they found them, everyone drowned there. No wonder that Moses could sing a new song. sang in the spirit. Miriam picked up a tambourine, began to beat the tambourine, run down the bank dancing. If that ain't an old-fashioned Holy Ghost meeting, I never seen one. That's right. On the daughters of Israel followed her doing the same thing. They had overcome. And a man never knows what it is to live a victorious life until he's completely overcome. Who? Himself. That's the biggest enemy you got is yourself. That's why some of you can sit over there and sing, "We've been made more than conquerors." And others of you can go, "We've been made more than conquerors." Why? Because you have been. You have that victory. You have conquered something, even if it's just your old past, your old filthy sins, whatever it is. And somebody else sitting over there, overcomers. There's something different about it. You can sing a new song once you've actually experienced what the song's talking about. Oh, my. 1 Samuel 18, verse 6, "And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets and with joy and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, 'Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Now, Saul began to get a little jealous because they ascribed, you know, a bigger healing revival to David than they did Saul. Or they ascribed more souls saved or more members of his church or a bigger choir, whatever it was. You know, they began to ascribe more of that to Saul. So instead of him saying, 'Oh, thank you, Lord, that you could use me to slay 1,000. He said, "Now, wait a minute. They're acting like this guy's a bigger, big shot than I am." And he began to get a jealous spirit on him. But what it was, they were so excited to see the victory that the Lord had brought to Israel. They were just getting under the anointing of that and beginning to sing together. Instead of being able to praise with him and join in, he begins to get a jealous spirit on him. "Well, you know, the sister so-and-so, she sang this song. And, you know, I don't know. I was thinking about singing that song, but she sang it so anointed, I guess I'll never sing that song because, oh, I know that spirit creeps around churches. Gets right here around Church of the Open Door. Oh, well, brother so-and-so, he sang it better than I can, so I'll never sing it again." You realize you're letting the devil rob you, not of only being a blessing to somebody else, but of getting a blessing yourself? You can get quiet tonight. It's all right. You say, "Oh, Brother Nathan, he's really picking on somebody tonight." Oh, no, that's not just one person. I hear things like that all the time from people. Can you imagine if Brother Furman and I did that? We'd slowly narrow down the songbook until all of a sudden we'd have to go and buy a Methodist songbook or something. Well, Brother Furman has sang, you know, 487 all the way up to 700 and something. So I've got to go back. We'll go back in the old Only Believe book and I'll just sing those for a while. And oh, now here he comes meeting me towards the middle of that one. And now he sang all these songs. And bless God, I've sang these, so he can't sing them. And, you know, we don't have copyrights on these songs. Brother Ben Wright sang "I Feel the Pull" the other day, and he probably sang it better than I'll ever be able to sing it. But you know what? I'm not going to let it stop me from singing "I Feel the Pull" some evening when I'm feeling the pull and I want to sing about it, all right? Hey, man, I was going to give Brother Morse a hard way to go a few Wednesday nights ago. Brother Ben was singing a special, and he's back there on the back row with his cell phone way up in the air videoing Brother Ben. I was going to come up and say, "Well, I saw Brother Morse videoing Brother Ben, so I don't remember him ever videoing me singing," but I was afraid he'd say from the back, "Well, if you sang that good, I would." So I just decided I'd leave that alone. But we don't let it stop us from worshiping the Lord. Brother Furman and I are not in a competition up here to see who can sing a song better than somebody else. We're here trying to find the leading of the Holy Spirit. Lord, what would you have us to sing? Amen. Sometimes maybe I'll start it and hand it over to Brother Furman. The Lord will bless it and the people will be screaming and shouting, or vice versa. Amen. We're not here to, this isn't a flesh thing. This isn't a let's see who can sing the best and let's see who can play the best and let's see who can preach the best. It's not a competition. If it is, then you should probably just not participate until you get that spirit off of you. See, that's what Saul did. Oh, well, they said, "I slayed my thousands, but David his 10,000s. I just give up." Oh, my, that's as good as the devil wants. Amen. Pardon 1963. He says the devil copied it and put them out here with rock and roll and stuff, but the real, genuine dance comes from God. That's exactly, and always a dance was a victory. When David slew Goliath and this little ruddy-looking boy come dragging the head of this giant into the city, the people met him dancing. They had the victory. Something about it. Here he comes, this little bitty boy. Oh, my. Just a little bitty shrimp. Brother Bram said about 4.5 feet tall. And Goliath, the Bible tells us he was about 9'3". And here he comes dragging this the head of his giant into the city. He's dragging it in, leaving a blood trail behind him everywhere he goes, drags it in, and they come out rejoicing because they didn't know how the battle was going to go. They should have had trust in the Lord, but they were just human like we are, and they didn't know how the battle was going to go. They didn't know what was going to happen. And now word comes, a runner comes running from the city, said, "Hey, after 40 days and 40 nights of being up here and seeing this giant challenge us, we finally got a, well, I was going to say a man, but I guess he's more of a boy. We've got a boy to go and challenge him." And the people of the city said, "Excuse me? Saul has picked a boy. Who is it?" "Oh, David of Jesse, of the tribe of Judah." And they said, "You mean the little guy that sits out here with his stinking sheep and plays music and sings songs all day? He's going to fight Goliath? He ain't ever had a sword lesson in his life. He ain't ever had a shield lesson or any kind of lesson in his life that we know all about, but God was training him on the backside of the desert." And now this little ruddy boy comes dragging his giant. Many times, you know, sometimes we drag our giants down the aisle and just lay them at the altar. Say, "Lord, I'm done with this thing. I'm done. I'm not going to fight him anymore. You slay the thing." And there's something about it. The Bible said that, my, the angels rejoice in heaven over that one lost soul that comes back. Amen. Can you imagine? And then we let the devil fight us and say, "Well, you know, If you danced in church, you'd probably just be in the flesh." You know what? I'm going to be in the flesh till I'm in the theophany. But sometimes the Lord comes down and anoints this flesh to where I just don't know how to hardly express it. There were times that David in the Psalms, you can read at the beginning of many of the Psalms. We're just going to go through a few of them tonight. And you can see that the anointing from the psalm that David is writing, the song as he gets inspiration from it, was many times from a battle that he was going through. Psalm chapter 52, a psalm of David when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul and said unto him, "David has come to the house of Ahimelech." Now, if you know the Bible, this is when David goes to the priest and he doesn't have bread or water or a weapon or anything. And he's running from Saul. Saul's come and sent men into his own house to try to kill him. And they set a little thing up there that looked like his hair and his head and his body and put covers over it. And he slips out the window. His wife delivers him out of the window. And here come men stomping up the stairs. They'd heard that David was sick. And Saul said, "Just bring him on his bed to us and we'll kill him." And they go up there and there's no David. And Saul realizes that his daughter has deceived him, and now David and his men are just running as hard as they can to get away from Saul, and they come to Ahimelech, and Ahimelech is a priest there, and it happens that Doeg the Edomite happens to be there at the same time, and he says, "Do you have a sword or anything?" And he says, "Well, I have the sword of Goliath of Gath," and he said, "Oh my, there's none like that. Give me that sword." Now, by this time, David's grown a little bit into the sword. Before, he couldn't hardly lift it to chop old Goliath's head off, but now he's grown a little bit to where the sword begins to fit him a little better. And he goes, you know, that's how a lot of us are. When we first come to the Lord, many times we didn't know how to handle serpent seed and Godhead and all these things. And we was trying to shove it down our relatives' throats and our coworkers' throats and things. And we realized we got to learn how to handle that sword a little bit better sometimes. Sometimes you'll chop your own foot off if you're not careful. Chop off your nose to spite your face or something. You know, you got to learn how to handle the word. And so he comes and he gives him the sword. Now, Doeg the Edomite, he goes back to Saul and he tells him about this. And Saul comes and slays all these priests, but just because they helped out David. Now, they didn't know that he was running from Saul, but all this takes place. And David sits down and writes Psalm 52 from this. Psalm 54, a psalm of David, when the Ziphims came and said to Saul, "Doth not David hide himself with us?" Again, somebody running around behind his back and talking about him. And he sits down and he writes a psalm over it. He doesn't send them hate mail. He doesn't unfriend them on Facebook. He doesn't hire a hitman. He doesn't run down their character. He sits down and writes a song to God about it. Goodness gracious. Psalm 63, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Now here he is hiding out from Saul in the wilderness, living in caves and desert places. And again, the atmosphere that he's in, he can sit down and write a song about it because he's gone through and experienced this now. 2 Samuel 22, verse 1. This is also, it's Psalm 18, but David is talking about him writing it here, and it writes it out completely in 2 Samuel 22 as well. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And I won't read you the whole thing, but let's just read this one part here tonight. 2 Samuel 22, verse 30. For by thee I have run through a troop. By my God I have leaped over a wall. Now you can go back and read some of these other psalms that David was writing. When Doeg the Edomite came and talked bad about him, and this other group came and talked bad about him, all these things he was going through, hiding out in the deserts and the caves and things. And his psalms didn't sound quite as victorious as this. But now all of his enemies have been put aside from him, and Saul has been slain, and now here he is victorious, and he's living, and he's about to be anointed as king. And he says, for by thee I have run through a troop, by my God I have leaped over a wall. You see, sometimes there's songs for certain seasons. And sometimes we have to come in, maybe we're just in a deep, dark valley, and we can either just stay there, and we can be miserable and pitiful and pout and cry and get everybody to feel sorry for us and pat us on the head, or we can come and we can sing songs like, the God of the mountain, he's still God in my valley. When things go wrong, he'll make them right. Or we can sing that first song of Brother Terry Tidwell's song, I just came into a valley, one like I've never been before. I keep searching for a way out. Seems like padlocks are on the door. Sometimes we're in times where we can relate to those songs, and we can relate to those verses, and we can relate to those lyrics. And sometimes somebody gets up and sings that song, and we think, oh, I'm just going to break down right here and just cry and weep and shake all over if they keep singing that song. Why? Because you're connecting to that song. You can relate to it. You can experience it because it's more than a song to you. It's where you're living at. But then when you begin to come over that peak and you begin to see the sunrise again, you can go on, you can sing the rest of it. You can sing that third verse. Now I'm standing on the mountain. Looking back, I can see it was in my lowest valley. His strong hand was leading me. Oh, it's good to see the sunrise and to taste sweet victory. God has made this trial a blessing. Oh, the grace he has for me. We have songs like that for situations in our life. God anoints people sometimes when they're in those valleys, and they maybe they're in the depths of despair, and they just don't know where to turn or what to do, and all of a sudden anointing strikes somebody. Maybe you're not gifted to write songs. Maybe you're gifted to make chocolate pie, or maybe you're gifted to write thank you cards and encourage somebody. Maybe you're gifted to write poetry, or maybe you're gifted to play music or whatever. Somebody else is gifted over here, and they sit down and they write a song, and they're just in going through such a battle, and they begin to just express it under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and they're just crying out to God in this song, and they don't... Maybe they don't know why they're going through that battle, and they don't know why they're facing this situation. And then 20 years goes by, 30 years goes by, and people keep writing them and calling them and telling them, Brother so-and-so, Sister so-and-so, you'll never know how much that song helped me through this battle that I was going through. I heard a lady the other day on a YouTube video that I came across listening to some Christian music online for some songs that we were going to practice for the church. And there was a little testimonial thing there where she was sharing some testimonies. And she said that one of the greatest things that ever happened to her was that somebody was getting ready to commit suicide. And one of her songs came on, and they got to listen to the lyrics of that song, and they decided not to commit suicide. And they wrote her and told her about it. Now, sometimes we go to do something and we think, well, you know, I don't know why I'm doing this. I don't know. I guess it won't ever amount to anything. And you don't realize the impact that it's going to have on somebody down the road. Psalm 51, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba, one of the lowest points in David's life. Here he had sinned. Here he's had a man murdered. Here he's got caught red-handed by the prophet. And all this, the judgment that he gives out turns right around back on him. And the prophet says, hey, David, you're the man, as we looked at it the other service. And yet in all this, he sits down and he begins to write Psalm 51, a psalm that would bless and encourage and help people. Brother Furman sang about it the other, I guess it was Sunday morning or Sunday night, sang about it. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And we gain strength and comfort from that. And here it was probably David's lowest point in his life. Here his child is dying. All the things that he's faced, he realizes what he's done. He's repentant and he's discouraged and he's crying out to God and he realizes what a terrible mistake he's made. And he sits down under the anointing and begins to write this. And 2,000 years, 3,000 years go by and people still being blessed by it. Amen. Sometimes we don't know how God is going to use this situation. Psalm chapter 8, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Talk about a terrible circumstance. Now his son comes and takes the throne from him and is seeking to take his life. And he's running from his own son. And instead of just getting bitter about it, instead of just sitting down and saying, well, God, if you loved me, you wouldn't allow this to happen. I'm quitting church and I'm quitting serving you and I'm just going to go out and be a heathen. He sits under the anointing and writes Psalm chapter 3. Many there be that trouble me. And, you know, they've even made songs into it and things. Wonderful, beautiful words brought from this terrible situation. Amen. Brother Branham talks to a man in the prayer line. And Do You Now Believe in 1952. And he's talking about how he's a nervous man and this nervousness around him. And he says, go be happy. Sing songs all day long. Amen. You're that quiet type of person which would hurt you a little later in your life. You go on and just start singing hymns and rejoicing, testifying of your healing. It'll leave you. Amen. This nervous spirit that he's dealt with maybe since he was a little child, and Brother Branham doesn't tell him, go up on some mountain and take your backpack and you just go up there and meditate, or go talk to some spiritual man, or go to this certain church and go through a spiritual ritual, or go fast and pray for 40 days and 40 nights. He says, you just go. And you start singing hymns. You just go and be happy and sing songs all day long. Just start singing hymns and rejoicing and testifying of your healing. It'll leave you. How simple. How simple. But yet, what was it? It's an atmosphere that this man's creating around him. I wonder how many times things, maybe it's not nervousness that you fight. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a depression. Maybe it's some type of a family ordeal that's going on that just keeps dragging you down. Or maybe it's some type of a financial situation where you're just constantly under stress and pressure because of financial things and all these things and turmoils around your life. And instead of dwelling on all those things and beating your head against the wall all day, I wonder if we would just turn on some good gospel music and begin to sing, if it would change the atmosphere many times. And when Satan would try to get you to go back to the things that you used to do, and he'd try to get you to go back and grab the bottle or grab the needle or grab the cigarette pack or grab the magazine, if you just begin to sing, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. The devil said, is this guy crazy? Is this guy crazy? I'm trying to get him to drink some alcohol, or I'm trying to get him to smoke a cigarette, and he's singing, victory is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. I wonder how much it would change the atmosphere. The infallible word of God, again, 1956. Now, this is a sister that comes forward. He said, look, will you do as I tell you to now? You feel all right at this time, see, because it's gone. She's come in the prayer line. She stood before the prophet. He's cast out that devil. He said, you feel okay now. You've been a nervous, upset lady all your life. He said, but you feel fine now because it's gone. When you come up here, there was a dark shadow around you. It's gone now. It scared you. You can't help it. It comes to you. But look, now the unclean spirit's gone from you. He will walk in dry places. He will try to return again. But you just take my word as God's prophet. Don't you never have a frown on your face. Sing all day long and praise God no matter how you feel or what takes place. It'll leave you and won't come no more. Now go do that. Amen. Now this can just be a quote to some lady in 1956, or you can say God's not a respecter of persons. So whatever he told that lady through the prophet, if I do the same thing, then I'll get the same results. And if I'm facing something and I'm not going to get negative and depressed and sour and come in with a frown on my face and walk into church like my bottom lip's dragging the ground, I'm so sad and miserable, but I'm going to come in, whether I feel good or not, I'm going to put on a smile when I shake Brother Layton's hand. I'm going to say, Brother Layton, how was your day, brother? I'm going to be concerned about somebody else instead of so self-absorbed with my problems. You say, oh, that's being a hypocrite, Brother Nathan. Well, Brother Bam said when he began to eat that food and he had claimed his healing, he said that food began to hit his stomach. He said they had a bouncing party there for a while where it was trying to come up. And he said he put his hand over his mouth and he said he began to sweat and foam. And he said he was walking down the street and his stomach about to kill him. Somebody said, how you doing, Brother Branham? How you been? He said, oh, I'm feeling wonderful, just doing great. Somebody said, Brother Branham, that is a hypocrite to say that. He said, no, I wasn't accepting what my symptoms were. I wasn't accepting what my body was telling me. I was accepting what the Word was telling me. So whether I feel happy, whether I feel victorious, whether I feel delivered, whether I feel healed, whether I feel like I'm on the mountaintop, I'm going to tell Satan, look, I'm putting on a smile anyhow. I'm going to be happy to be at church. I'm going to be happy to see my brothers and sisters. I'm going to be happy to be in the presence of God to where I know that He can come and do things for me. And I am going to be victorious whether I feel like it or not because the Word said so. I am delivered, whether I feel delivered or not, because the Word said so. I am healed, whether I feel like it or not, because the Word said so. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 149, verse 1. Sing unto the Lord a new song and His praise in the congregation of saints. Again, Isaiah chapter 42, verse 10. Sing unto the Lord a new song and His praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Wherever you go, if you're going down in the sea, if you're going down to the isles, if you're going up on the mountaintop, down in the valley, sing a new song unto God. Something about it that, you know, when David defeated this giant, they could sing a new song that they had never sang before. When Barak and Deborah and all of them, when they begin to defeat the enemies of God in the book of Judges, they sang a new song that they had never sang before. Deborah sat down and began to sing this song. When Moses was going through in the journey through the desert there, and there was times where they'd have lacks of water and things, but there were many times when God would give him a song and he would say, sing this in the ears of the children of Israel. And when they do, when they come up, I believe it's Deuteronomy chapter 31, he says, sing this so it can be a remembrance in the ears of the children of Israel. And that when they begin to complain and when they go through trials and things like this, remind them of this song. Oh, it does good sometimes to do that. To recognize whatever we're going through, when we come out of that valley, when we come out of that trial, we're going to be able to sing a new song that maybe we've never... Oh, now, I'm not saying we couldn't sing it verbally. We couldn't form the words and form the chords and all that. But there's something about it when you can really live it and express it and know that, hey, I've gone through that and I can sing this song now. There's something different about it. When you can relate to it and you can go and you can sing and say, Lord, I identify with this because I've been through that trial. I've been through this victory. I've been through these different things. And then it can become a part of you to where you say, Lord, this is my song. You realize that when we get over to heaven, from what the scriptures and from what the prophet of God teaches us, when we get over there and we begin to sing the songs of redemption and we begin to sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, he said that the angels will have to stand there with bowed heads. Now, it's not that this song, it's not that we're singing a different language that the angels can't understand. It's not that we have different vocal cords and tongues and the shape of the roof of our mouth to where the angels can't form the words to Amazing Grace. It's not that. It's that they can't relate to what we're expressing. It's not a song to them. It's not something that they can express because they don't know what it means to be redeemed. And we can stand there and lift our hands and cry and shout and praise the Lord and say, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. And they just stand there and they don't know, what does that mean to be redeemed? What does that mean to be saved? We never need to be. Why are they expressing their emotion like this? We don't understand. Amen, but we understand, don't we? Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made unto us, made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. You talk about a time of rejoicing. You talk about a time of shouting and praising. Now, Brother Branham, he begins to read this in questions and answers on the seals. This is the question. When they asked him about this scripture, they said, Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, was that talking about the bride? And he misunderstands the question. He reads this part of the scripture, and he begins to answer, and he just stops. He said, is somebody sick? What's going on? And our brother speaks from the congregation. He said, read the rest of Revelation 5, verse 9. Brother Branham goes back. And he said, in one place, he said, I felt like I'd taken candy from a baby. Something was wrong. What was it? The Holy Spirit was watching over those questions. And he reads it again. He says, oh, yes. Yes, this is the bride. He said, because he said that he had redeemed her. And so the bride now, realizing, you realize sometimes we're waiting for a physical manifestation of this. And I believe that we will physically be there and physically see him and physically be able to appreciate these things and lay our crowns at his feet and all that. But you realize if you've recognized what this message really was about, we can already sing this new song. When we recognize that the book of redemption is no longer sitting on the throne, it's no longer sealed up with seven seals, but that the book is open and that the Lamb has come and taken the book off of the throne and has opened it for all of us to look into and see and recognize, hey, I'm identified there. John got excited because he recognized his name was laying there on the book of redemption, and he was weeping because no man could loose it. And now the angel says, don't weep, John. Don't weep, John. There's one that's worthy. Oh, you may not be able to. He couldn't see me. He looked down through earth and through heaven and under the earth and up in the atmosphere and everywhere. And he couldn't see anybody that was worthy. And the angel points to him and he sees one standing there, a lamb, as though it had been slain before the foundation of the world. And he takes the book and he looses the seals. And now the people begin to get excited and they recognize and they sing a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by blood. And it wasn't a racial affair. It wasn't a family affair. It wasn't a cultural or a national affair, but out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. They recognize we are redeemed, because one was worthy to come and loose the seals thereof, to come and take the book and open it. I don't know about you. I can sing that song. Hey, man, I can relate with it. I can sing that song tonight. The Breach, 1963. Brother Branham is speaking of this scripture. He says, glory to God, I feel good enough to speak in tongues. Look, watch. Here it seems like I ain't got enough language. I could praise him with it. I need one that I don't even know. He goes on and he says, listen, what a jubilee going on. When they seen that lamb come and take that book of redemption, the souls screamed out, we'll get it. All everything, the elders fell down. They poured out the prayers of the saints. What? There was represented a kinsman for us. They fell upon their face and they sang a song and said, thou art worthy. Oh, he's worthy tonight. Amen. We're able to recognize tonight he's worthy. We're able by the grace of God to recognize he's loosed the seals. He's opened the book. Amen. Amen. We're not looking at a sealed book anymore, trying and guessing and looking and trying to figure out, but it lays open for the bride of Jesus Christ. What a time. I wish Brother Jewel Forney was here, Brother Jimmy. He could sing, won't it be a time? Oh, won't it be a time? Amen. I believe it will be, but I believe we can have a time right now too. Amen. I believe we can have a time when we begin to recognize we can sing a new song tonight. Amen. Amen. Maybe you couldn't sing it 10 years ago, 5 years ago, maybe not 5 minutes ago. I don't know. But there's something about it. The bride of Jesus Christ, we have a song to sing, not just because somebody wrote it, not just because we can intellectually learn the lyrics, but because we recognize when we sing about salvation, I'm saved. I can sing that song. When we sing about victory, I'm saved. I can sing that song, I'm victorious. When we talk about deliverance, I'm delivered. We don't have to sing, my deliverer is coming. He's already came and delivered us. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. Amen. God bless you tonight. If the musicians would come. I don't think I'm going to sing any new songs tonight, but maybe we'll sing it in a new way, in a way that we can relate to, in a way that we can recognize. It's not just the lyrics of a song. It's our testimony. Amen. It's something we can relate to and apply to our own lives. So many times during the scripture, things like this would take place, they couldn't have ever sang these songs before. They couldn't have sang about David slaying Goliath until it happened. But after it happened, then they could sing about it. They couldn't sing about crossing the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army being destroyed until it happened. And then they could really sing about it and rejoice. And there's many things, many hymns that maybe we've sang since a little child in Sunday school or at church and sitting on a pew, whatever it would be, driving in the car with our family. And we could sing it with our lips. We could sing it with our vocal cords. But we really couldn't identify until something took place. And then we can sing, now I know what it means to be saved. Now I know what it means to be redeemed. Now I know what it means to experience these things. God bless you tonight. Let's sing this together. Number 52. This is written off of one of these psalms that we read about tonight that David wrote. My heart was distressed neath Jehovah's dread frown, and low in the pit where my sins dragged me down, I cried to the Lord from the deep miry clay, who tenderly brought me out to golden day. Oh, he brought me out of the miry clay. Oh, he set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my soul today, a song of praise. Why don't we stand and sing it? Let's sing it with all our heart. Oh, he brought me out. Oh, he set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my soul today, a song of praise. Hallelujah. He placed me upon the strong rock by his side. My steps were established, and here I'll abide. No danger of falling while here his grace until the crown I gain. Oh, he brought me out of the miry clay. Oh, he set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my heart today, a song of praise. Hallelujah. He gave me a song, was a new song of praise. Its sweet notes I will raise. My heart's overflowing. I'm happy and free. I'll praise my Redeemer who has rescued me. Oh, he brought me out of the miry clay. Oh, he set my feet on the rock. Oh, if you can really sing it tonight, you ought to praise him. Not just with your voice. If you can sing it from your heart that he brought you out. He brought you from your circumstance. He brought you from your sin. Oh, he brought me out of the miry clay. Oh, he set my feet on the rock to stay. Oh, he in my heart today a song of praise. Hallelujah. I'll sing of his wonderful mercy to me. His goodness shall see. I'll sing of salvation at home and abroad, till many shall hear this truth and trust in God. Oh, he brought me out.
Oh, let it start.
let your word be born in the manger of my heart. Jesus, let your word be born in the manger of my heart. Lord, let it live in me. Oh, let it start, live inside this house of clay. Just came into a valley, one like I've never been before. I keep searching for a way out. It seems like padlocks are on each door. Oh, there must be another sunrise, another sunset that I see. God will make this trial a blessing. That's the love He has. Oh, whatever you're going through tonight, God will make this trial a blessing. Though it sends me to my knees, though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief. Oh, there's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. See, I was not the first one to come into this place. Oh, every child of God, these kind of tests we will face, but it is here. Our God will mold you. He'll make you what you ought to be. Our God will make this trial a blessing. Just be patient, you will see. Oh, God will make this trial. He'll give you a new song, though it brings you to your knees. Though your tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief. Oh, there's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. Our God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world. Victory. I'm standing on a mountain, looking back, I can see. Lord, it was in my lowest valley when your strong hand was leading me. Oh, it's so good to see the sunrise and to taste sweet victory. Our God has made this trial a blessing. Oh, the grace He gives to me. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees, though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief. Oh, there's no need to get discouraged, there's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. Place. Know every child of God, these kind of tests we all must face, but it is here. Our God will mold us. He'll make you what you ought to be. Oh, God will make this trial a blessing. Just be patient, you will see. Our God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief.
What a wonderful reminder. We can sing a new song. So the devil's fought me about saying anything, so I'll start by reading this quote, and then if the if the Brother Nathan wants to get on to me, you pray for him so that he can give me the proper leading. So about a month ago, Brother Nathan read a quote that struck a chord with me, and I sang it around the house and irritated my kids and wife, and I was like, I will never, never sing that at church, ever. So God's covenant with Abraham and his seed. Get all the things away from you. Say, Mr. Satan, you are defeated. Jesus Christ stripped you of every power that you had when he died at Calvary, and you're nothing but a bluff. You can't bluff me. Amen. I'm made out of that stuff that don't bluff. I don't know if you remember that quote. That's what came from Calvary. Hallelujah. Don't bluff. Don't receive it. So let's try this in F. It's simple. If we can't do this on Humble Night, I don't know when we can do it. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Oh, I'm made out of stuff that don't. I was made to overcome. I was made to overcome. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I'm made. Boo, devil. That don't bluff. Oh, I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Oh, I was made to overcome. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I'm made out of stuff.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. He's worthy. We love you, Lord. Praise your name. Amen. God's worthy.
So, when the devil gives you a hard time, you can sing. You can remember that. Anyway, we may never sing that again, but I didn't want to go home thinking I didn't do what the Lord laid on my heart. So,
G.
My heavenly